just get this part confused.
You have your notes, by the way.
I have my notes, Sim. I have my notes. Go on, Mike. I think you're about to give me a compliment, potentially.
On airplane mode.
Oh, yes.
Airplane mode.
That's Sim being a dick. I'd never put mine on airplane mode. I like to challenge him. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mike.
He's your flight attendant.
That's exactly what I am.
And I'm his Alec Baldwin.
First of all, can I tell the Uber story?
Yes, yes, please do.
Wait, can you first introduce our lovely guest here?
Hey, everyone, dear sweet listeners, we have Mike Birbiglia on the show tonight. And I'm so thrilled. I love his movie. I love his work. I've been a big fan of yours. When I told everyone at work today at Mom that you were on the show, everyone went, what?
Really?
Yeah. And so, and my brother, too, I spoke to him earlier. And just know that you are loved.
That makes me feel so good because I always feel terrible in Los Angeles. And I feel like I'm universally disliked by show business.
Really?
I just feel that way because I feel like in this town, it's hard to not feel like a commodity. Like you're viewed as how much you're worth to your agents and lawyers and managers at any given moment. And then I often just feel like I make independent films and one person shows, like, I'm not worth much to anybody.
Well, know that that's not true, but also know that I have definitely... Sometimes I felt like an aging thoroughbred in this town where...
Which is hilarious, of course.
Where it does feel like...
You're not aging. I don't think you've aged since I've seen you.
You might need glasses.
A film.
But...
your first film, I don't... How many years ago? My wife and I reference you constantly from Lost in Translation. Constantly. As a matter of fact... The part of Don't Think Twice where they, and I've never said this in an interview, and I'm almost embarrassed because it's almost like a rip in some ways. The part where they meet the woman who's on Weekend Live at the bar.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They're like, yeah, I follow you on Twitter. He's like, I follow you on Twitter. And like, there's like a spark between Keegan's character and the woman who's on Weekend Live at the bar. That's like a little bit ripped from that Lost in Translation scene.
Interesting. I can see that now.
Because my wife and I obsess over, like, that's such a true-to-life dynamic that you guys have in that moment. And it's like, the way you guys play it is so real and so painful.
This is a long conversation, but that playing that role was, I was pretty new in town, and I got cast in that role, and I was sort of floored, more than floored, that I actually got cast in it. And then when I got to Japan, I felt like, oh my God, I'm so huge. Everyone's playing their characters way down here.
Oh, interesting. And
I thought, like, I am not a part of this movie.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
But I was still sort of adjusting to. The idea of who I was, the position wise in the movie, because it hadn't been fully explained to me that I was like, I wanted to be atrocious and obnoxious, but I also, I sort of had empathy for her. And, as I do all kind of the characters, I guess, I hope that I play. And anyway, whatever, we don't need to talk about my performances. The people, our sweet listeners, will get mad.
They're tuning
they
in to hear about
because
you.
They love
right,
you already.
They are. Yeah, exactly.
I know, but I. And
that was their buy-in. The buy-in is they like you, right. And then the double down is they love you.
But it, you know, I felt really vulnerable making that movie because I knew that that playing a character that was going to be mocked. And that was the job of the end.
Right. I feel that way a lot. Well, I feel that way in Trainwreck because I play Amy's brother-in-law who's like kind
and
of
you're
a loser.
Amazing.
Yes.
And it would be tough because every day at work, Amy, who's an amazing improviser and person, would be like, you're a loser in like 1,000 different improvised ways that after a while don't feel so improvised. And I would come home to my wife and I'd be like, am I a boring loser? And my wife would be like, you're not boring. And I was like, that's not the first full sentence.
No, but it
but you felt like that a little bit.
I did. I felt sort of widely hated. And then after the movie came out and became such a huge success, I was so proud to be a part of it. But I did have one moment of victory. I was at like Ralph's, and the checkout guy said,
by the way, you didn't, sorry to burn you on your own show, you didn't have one victory.
Thanks. You're right. No, it was it.
Of
was
like one of the most popular films of the last 20 years. But you have an awesome part and you didn't have one victory.
That's true.
And I'm leaving.
But this checkout guy said, I thought you were the only likable character in that movie.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
And
wow.
I felt like, oh, he heard that poor, obnoxious character, and he somehow related to her, and I just, oh, it just felt so good.
It's sweet, but even, like, I feel like all of your comedy is very vulnerable and true, even when it's outside of yourself. Like, even, like, how, thanks. Like, I feel like the greatest gift that my mom gave me is that my mom is, she's not a comedian, but she's, like, willing to be the joke. Like, she's willing, like, if people, like, goof on her, like, God. She plays into it and she heightens
bless
the game.
Her heart.
And I feel like you're like that.
That's me on this podcast, by the way.
Yeah. Like, she modeled it after Sim.
But does she ever feel bad if like, the family's around at Thanksgiving dinner and people are sort of ragging on her? Does she ever feel like, I might go into the kitchen and cry? Or is she...
I think she's comfortable enough in her own skin that, like, she... She's just kind of a beloved family member who's, she kind of owns the,
what does she
beta,
do?
The beta role in the family.
What does she do that's like, that people rag on her about?
She'll be like one of the things that, like, she'll, like, instead of saying like the phrase like hell, she'll say like fun. She'll be like when I was
like
a kid,
like,
it's like an old timey saying. So like when I was a kid, it would be like fun, you're going to the mall. And I'd be like, yeah, like fun, I'm going to the mall. Orange Julius, bowling, fun. But you know, we make fun of like phrases she says and things like that. But she like really sticks to her guns and she just is who she is, which I'll compliment you again. To say like that, I feel like that's what I try to do with my comedy, to try to like leave the vulnerabilities on the outside to sometimes be the joke of things. I mean, certainly my character in Don't Think Twice is ridiculous. Like Miles is like, he's like bitter and he's a womanizer and he's all these things that are like unlikable. But like you said, you try to find the humanity in the character. So you love, but House Bunny's like that too. It's like you're willing to be this kind of outrageous character, but in a way that we relate to.
Well, thank you for saying that. But I do think one of my early lessons in Hollywood was the only way that, at least if I wanted to pursue comedy, was the idea of abandoning vanity and
yeah,
like
absolutely.
Sort of, and just like, okay, I'm gonna make an ass out of myself. And I made the mistake early on of reading reviews of
this brutal.
Scary movie. And one of the reviews was like, I think that Ferris is as dumb as she acts.
Oh my God, no.
And, but the positive.
That's a compliment.
Yeah. Like
you
I had to sort
you
of,
them.
I would clearly still remember it and I'm clearly still bitter.
Yeah.
But I had to sort of warp it around in my head of like, okay, if I don't embrace the idea of sincerity of character
yeah.
and embracing sort of the, I don't know, flawed personality, then I'm not going to be doing my job well and I won't get a ton of reward. And also this is the only way I guess I can make money because I certainly, nobody's cast me as like the brooding, you know, girl who's, you know, who's wandering around Czechoslovakia in search of a lost love. I'm still waiting for that.
I had that. I'll cast you as that. As,
you
yeah,
will?
As soon as I write it.
Okay, perfect.
It's going to be super
that's
hysterical.
That's a great plot. Somebody's going to jump on that.
I just need a lot of good lighting.
But I had that with Trainwreck where my hometown newspaper, the Boston Globe, called me Brie Larson's blob of a husband.
Oh my God.
No,
blob?
You're kidding me.
Blob?
Like, that's not even complimentary describing food. Like if you were like, that's a blob of mashed potatoes, you'd be like, not so fast. That is a flourish of mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
It's rough. Reviews are rough.
Reviews are rough.
But you've been getting some incredible reviews. So Don't Think Twice has like what 100% Rotten Tomatoes. Right?
Yes. And it's such a fucking great movie.
Is that a record? It has to be a record. For a record, right? How many other movies have 100%? You're there. You're right at the top.
It's got
every movie of all time.
Yeah, I feel lucky about Don't Think Twice. Like, I feel like it's one of those, and you've probably had this with projects where you're like, well, like, there's so many ways for movies not to work.
Yeah.
Like, they can work, they can not work so many ways, and then, like, every once in a while you have one, and I feel like that way. But this is like, the cast worked, everyone loved each other, the crew worked, everyone loved each other, everyone knew each other's name, they liked coming to work, and it just worked. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if it'll happen again.
Watching your movie, which is hysterical and unbelievably moving and touching, I had that feeling of extreme, I had like a tidal wave of jealousy. I was like, man.
You were telling me that too during the conversation.
Really, really want to be in this movie.
Aww.
I really want to play with these people. They're so talented, and it's so moving, and such a like the artist's story, and especially in comedy. And so anyway,
thanks.
Now I'm really mad.
You're too.
Would you ever cast me
in the future? But in the past, I couldn't because you're too famous.
I love you for saying that, but no, that's really kind of you to say. I think that's the most generous thing anyone's ever said to
well,
me.
Well, I always say like...
Might be very untrue.
I always say like, I got to work with Chris Gethard and Tammy Sager, but like if I had made it in the studios, they would have been like, so we're thinking Claire Danes and John Cryer, you know, and I'd have to be like, okay, you know, like... Like, I wanted to make it real. People who are lesser-known folks in that universe.
Yeah.
So that
yeah.
kind of like the movie... I mean, honestly, like kind of like the movie Once, which is like one of my favorite movies of all time.
John Carney.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And then I feel like I get away with it a little bit with Keegan being famous because you want him to be...
You expect that he's the guy
exactly.
to get the Weekend Live.
When he gets Weekend Live, when he gets the Saturday Night Live equivalent, you're like, he should.
He's the guy that should get
one of the greatest sketch comedians of all time.
Right. But it makes sense.
And everyone plays their role so beautifully because even though he leaves your troupe, there's so much love between everybody. You really root for the troupe and for the idea of a creative family in general.
Yeah.
And it's really moving.
But if we work together, I'm going to do what I did with this cast, which is I'm going to call you.
Okay.
I'm going to go around your agent and I'm going to call you.
Yes,
and I'm gonna
please
say,
do.
I need you to fly yourself to New York 3 weeks early and rehearse scenes off the books.
Oh, my God. It'd be so much fun.
We did, like, improv workshops together. We did all these, like, bonding exercises.
Oh, that'd be so fun.
See, yeah, by the way, she would love that. She would completely love that. That's all she likes to do. And we're going to do some improv with you later on, but that's what she loves. She does it whenever we're not recording, she's doing improv with people just because that's what she loves to do.
I'm so obnoxious is what it is.
How did you assemble this cast? How did you know this is the cast that you wanted? What was the process like?
Well, Chris and Tammy are people I improvise with at UCB all the time. And so I had them in mind. But like I said, we would have readings at my house. And like I had like 10 readings of the script, like different stages over the course of like a year or so. Mm-hmm. And Chris and Tammy would always read those parts. And I would have to be like, I might not be able to cast you. Because we don't have financing yet.
Right.
So I don't know if they're going to let me, whoever it is going to let me.
It was nice you were honest with them, though.
I know. Well,
because that's always a hard thing,
yeah,
too.
It's brutal.
It's like, how do you incorporate? Yeah.
Yeah, it's rough. But, and then there's that. And then Keegan was the next one where I was in like a Key and Peele kind of rabbit hole. You know what that's like, where you just can't get out. You're just like, I can't leave.
You can't, it's so addictive.
Key and Peele universe.
I know.
And then Gillian Jacobs was a recommendation. And same with Kate McCucci with Garfunkel and Oates. I just love that show.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, like,
she's unbelievable.
So,
she and Ricky Lindholm do an amazing job together.
Yeah. It's like, that's so, what she is so specific. And then she does those drawings in real life. And so I was like Googling her and being like, what if instead of a novelist, she's a graphic novelist? And I called Ira Glass, my producer, and I was like, what would you think? And I showed him these links. I was, what do you think if it's like these drawings instead of, you know, Allison just being a novelist? And he was like, yeah, of course that's what it should fucking be. Like, of course it should be. And I was like, I didn't know you didn't like it before. Like, why so aggressive? But yeah, so then that, and then with Gillian, it was Lena Dunham recommended her because she had worked with her on Girls and was like, she is Samantha. She is the part. And I was like, I'd never seen her play a part like that. She always plays outside of herself. And then she put herself on tape in her living room, that final scene between her and Jack, which I won't give away. But it's pretty heartbreaking.
Amazing scene.
It's so heartbreaking. Yeah.
And it's like her in her living room, and it made me choke up, like seeing it. My wife and I like watching it, being like, she has to do this. And so I got kind of lucky, like that everybody was just like cool and kind of got it.
That's not luck. That's you.
It's not. It is luck though, right? Because you've probably been on some movies where everyone is good except a couple people.
Yes, but I do think that I always resent it when people sort of throw that term in there, because it really is, it comes from the top, the leadership, and it also comes from creating great characters, knowing, trusting your gut and hiring great people and working with great people. That's not luck. That's the magic. That's the rare magic that happens on occasion here in Hollywood, and that's why we're all here. And and I just love your movie so much. But yeah, I totally had movie envy. I was like, I would like to be in Jason Bourne. Sure. Firing guns, riding on motorcycles, making a fucking shit ton of money. But what I really want to do is be a part of an improv troupe.
If you ever
Don't
think thrice, the squeakquel. It won't be your first squeakquel. But
I'm going to be fired from the SNL, counterpart.
Yeah.
And come to your improv troupe, desperate.
That seems good.
I'm a heroin addict.
I like it. If you come to New York, we have a regular improv show at UCB Theater in Chelsea.
Yeah.
For a while, I was doing it every Wednesday lately because of the movie. I've been out of town, but when you come to town, you should improvise with us.
Oh my gosh.
That would be amazing. It'd be amazing. I would love to see you at UCB.
I would be so terrified.
There's nothing to be afraid of because the audience paid $5. I always say that. There's nothing to be afraid of. They pay $5. It can be terrible, and they're still like, that was cool. Anna Faris was there.
But don't you think, like, as long as you have
I would pay $5 just to see you like
fumble?
Walk around like Gristiti's shopping for like mangoes. I'd be like, yeah, I pay $5
These aren't
for that.
Ripe.
That's good. Who do I pay? I'm taking out my wallet.
Mom, how do I test what a mango's ripe like? How do I fucking cut them open? I'm constipated, Mom.
Where do I pay? Who do I pay, Sam?
I'm always an awful person.
I wanted to say my Uber up here.
Yeah.
You might cut this out, but my Uber up here, did you guys hear this?
Wait, what happened with your Uber?
So she goes, we're going up and up the hills, and it's like becoming...
I like it that it's up and up.
I've been with my 15-month-old daughter all day. So it's like, up, up, up. We're going to the beach. That's the ocean. The waves come in and they go out and they go in. And then I meet adults in the world and I still talk like that. But we're going up, up, up into the hills. And my Uber driver goes, do you live here? And I go, no. She goes, what are you doing here? And I go, my friend lives here. And she goes, is he famous? And I go, this is where I fumbled. I go, I don't think so. Which is a dead giveaway that you're lying. I don't think my friend is famous. And then I go, to cover for it, I go, I think he might be very well off. It's the worst, like... There's nothing worse than like talking to an Uber driver and like they know you're lying.
Yeah, but why the grill?
I know why the grill. LA Uber drivers.
What's the difference between New York and LA Uber drivers?
New York Uber drivers are they're focused. They're trying to go to their destination. They're trying to get there fast. They're trying to hit a lot of fares. L.A., Uber drivers, look, I'm just trying. I'm not doing this full time. I'm just trying to be a country singer. You know,
and you're in
like,
L.A.
Oh, that's You're like, oh, that's so funny because I hate country music, and I want to just go to my destination and not talk. But it's a lot of like LA Uber drivers.
I got a script for you. I've been working on a script really hard.
Today,
should I be your Uber driver?
All right, let's do this. We're gonna get into it right now.
Okay,
you knew we were gonna do some improv.
You're going to let's say you're going to MTV for
for general.
Okay, what's your name? Are you still Mike?
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
that's the only part I play in movies.
Okay, what's my name? I'm an Uber driver. I'm a young, aspiring screenwriter. My name is going to be, let's just say Angie.
Hey. No,
that's not like quite aspiring. It needs to be a little more. My name is Angie, but I'm going to go by
Candy?
Angelina.
Okay. Hi, Mike. For Mike.
Hi. Yes. Hi, Angelina. Hop on back.
Thanks.
How you doing today?
I'm good. You know, I'm staying here on the beach. My wife and I are staying with friends on the beach, and that's nice.
Where are you going? Let me just type in an address.
It's
1300.
Yeah.
Colorado.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. That's MTV, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I've dropped people off there before. That's really
okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
Is
really
it
cool.
hard to maneuver?
No. It's totally easy. It's totally easy.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I've actually been there before. I hope you have your ID with you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. No,
Pretty tight security.
I'm good.
Yeah.
What are you, do you grow up here? Or?
No, but I am a screenwriter.
Oh,
I'm not
an
aspiring actress, but I am a screenwriter.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. It is really cool. It's really cool. You know, I write what I know and,
I just have to take this call.
Okay. That's cool.
Hey, how's it going? Hi, Una. Hi, Una. Hi, it's Dada. Hi.
Oh, do you mind buckling up your seatbelt?
Oh, yeah, sure. Hold on, honey. Yeah. Hi, honey. Dada's coming home soon.
Tell her I said hi.
That's the...
Angelina says hi.
That's the Uber driver.
Hi.
Her name's Angelina. I don't know her.
No, it's so cute. Oh my God, that's so cute.
It's not my friend. I just got in the Uber. She's just like talking to me a lot, and it's hard for me. I'll call
you. So cute. Oh my God, can I see a pic?
I'll call you.
How old?
I'll call you later, honey.
Oh my God, how cute. Is it so great being a dad? You sound like a really good dad.
Okay, honey, I'll...
You are like kind of the best dad. Oh, now you're married? Oh my God. So you're not unfaithful at all?
Can I clue it? All right. End scene. I want to tell a story based on that, which is I was once doing a gig in Northern California and in like a remote town, and I forget which town it was. It was maybe like
Eureka.
It was like Eureka or San Luis Obispo. It was like a small town, and I was flying to New York City through Los Angeles. So it was like a puddle jumper to Los Angeles and then to New York. And the flight was canceled, like often they are in these small towns. And I instinctually ran to the Avis rent-a-car because I was like, I'll just drive to Los Angeles.
I love it. That was your instinct. Avis.
Yeah, yeah. I got to go to Avis, like OJ. is that the OJ one?
That is. Oh, no, hurts,
yeah. And so I run to the thing, and I get to, never told this story before. I've always wanted to tell this on stage in some capacity, but never quite cracked it. But it's like, I end up in line, and I'm the last car available. It's like the run on cars. It's like the run on the mm-hmm. banks from It's a Wonderful Life. You know, it's like everyone's like rushing to Avis and like, car, please, give me a car. Look at here, see, I need a car. and then I get the last car, and this woman behind me is like, are you going to Los Angeles? And I was like, yes. She goes, can I go with you?
Oh, boy. Oh, my God.
I just go, sure. Like, what are you going to say?
What are you going to say? So, I would have done the same thing.
So I'm driving with this complete stranger to Los Angeles, like 4 hours.
That's a long time.
A long drive with a complete stranger who has no credentials, no background checks. And my wife calls.
Oh, God. Oh,
no.
And it, yeah, it's like our scene. That's why I stopped. I go, she goes, what's going on? I go, I'm driving. I'm glad you broke on that because it's so extreme. She goes, what's going on? Okay, my flight was canceled. I'm driving to Los Angeles.
Meet Megan.
Yes. And
she's cool.
And it's like,
she's also like 340 pounds. Don't worry about it, honey.
She goes, no, sorry. But I'm glad you brought that up because I said. Because
what else do you do? You can't be like, yeah, sorry. So
she goes, I'm in this car. There's only one car. And I wasn't going to throw her under the bus.
Right.
And be like, she forced me to drive with her.
Oh, man, like, this I had is to be a pickle.
I was in the back of the line. This woman and I were in the back of the line together. Like, she's in the fucking car when I'm explaining the story. So I had to diplomatically say it as though she's in the right also, which she's not. And I go, so she and I are driving 4 hours together in a car. And my wife goes, is she pretty? And I had to be like, we're on speaker. It's like, yes, she is.
Oh, God.
Yes, she is.
Oh, this is so hard.
She is very pretty. And it's like, literally, oh, it might as well be the script of what you say when you're cheating on your wife. Literally, like, you're like fumbling. You're like, I was in the back of the Avis line and I shared a car with this lady and she's gorgeous.
So were you hesitant to answer the phone when you saw your wife was calling? Because I would have been super hesitant.
Yeah,
if
but
Chris was calling. I would have been like, oh, God, this is not going to look great.
Yeah, but I find, like, the politics of phones with your spouse is so awkward inherently because it's like this thing of, like, you don't want to leave it ringing like 9 rings. It's like, why wouldn't you pick it up?
Right.
And then it's like, and then there's a politics of if you're on the other line and you don't pick up and they know you're on the other line, that's a whole
thing. Did you ever think about prophylactically calling your...
Why'd you use the word prophylactically?
Just calling her as like a preventative measure first and just saying, hey, by the way, I'm...
That was not on the table. We were in a rental car immediately trying to catch a flight in Los Angeles. So we were like burning rubber out of there. Next thing you know, my wife's calling, and then I got to pick up. There's nothing I can do.
So wait, can I ask you, did you enjoy this woman's company?
Yes, good question.
Did you find her?
I actually did. She had a good story about her sister. I'm not giving her away because I actually don't know her name. And so I'm not like telling tales out of school. She had this great story about her sister being in a cult in California.
That's actually pretty cool.
And that she had cut off the entire family and they couldn't get in touch with her.
Oh my God.
And it was like an hour of that. And it was like, it was kind of like one of those like stories that...
That's pretty cool.
This is
cool. Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. So it was like this really in-depth story about this... About her sister. I mean, I feel terrible. It sucks. It's a sad story, but it also was pretty entertaining as far as I have no stake in the outcome.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? But I can't say to my wife when I get there, like, right, I met this woman. She was enthralling and gorgeous. So, and by the way, my wife is like literally, and I say this all the time, her observation was the thing that spawned the film. She's a, you know, producer on the film. Like, she's a brilliant mind and gorgeous, like a bombshell, literally is like the most gorgeous sexually appealing person I've ever known in my life. So I feel comfortable telling this story. That said, it sucks calling your wife and telling her that you're driving a complete stranger who is gorgeous and interesting in California for no reason that makes sense.
And was she ever upset? Was your wife ever ruffled by, were there, her feathers ruffled by any of it?
We got past it.
Oh, wait, so there was like a little
bit of a tiff.
Well, there's a little bit of like, I mean, we weren't married at the time, and I feel like early in relationships, and my wife and I, you know, I talk about this in my special, my girlfriend's boyfriend a bit, but like early in our relationship, my wife and I were both like, when we were dating, we were both like, this is not exclusive, like weird. This is not serious. Like, we were both like hostile to being in love, like falling in love, and like,
because you felt it would make you vulnerable, like exactly. Most people do.
Exactly. And both of us were just like, this isn't anything. And like, we had that. Jake Johansson has this great joke. I remember opening for him like when I was starting like 15 years ago, and he has this great joke that literally has almost no punchline, but it's just a great, like almost a, like a one word joke, which is, he goes, so I'm in love. Fuck. And that's the whole joke. And I just, I feel like I've experienced that a couple times in my life where you're just like, oh man,
you must have experienced
that when you fell in love with Chris.
Yeah, of course. Like, you feel powerless over your own emotions, and that is, but you know, I guess that's a story of life, and you know, we're lucky if we get to feel that.
That's the give and take of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get more than you give for that, but it also is kind of like, okay, I'm powerless, like you said.
Okay, so now we are going to transition into a couple things. If you're ready, Sim, are you ready?
I'm ready. Of course I'm ready. I'm always ready.
Sim, by the way, thanks. On the Keegan episode, thanks for complimenting Sleepwalk with Me. It's really sweet.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Really, oh, my God. That's one of... We've been yeah,
huge fans of yours forever.
Thanks.
That movie is incredible.
It's incredible, thanks. And I've been listening to you on This American Life for a long time, and you're unbelievable. And I have your book upstairs.
Oh, my God.
She does have your book upstairs.
I didn't mean to invite a barrage of compliments. No, I just wanted to point that out because, like, I thought it was so sweet.
Do you have any idea how happy we are to have you here? We're fans. We're like, we really want to invite people that we genuinely love. You know, it's because, you know, there's so many shows that you'll go on. People don't even know anything about you.
I know. What I want to say is, I have this joke about like general meetings in Los Angeles. Is people?
Good. I can't wait.
People come out of meetings and I've always said to my friends, like, if you have like a great meeting, like it's going really well, and you want to like tank it, like in a moment's notice, and people are like, I love you, I love you, I love you. Just be like, can I call you when I'm lonely? And that meeting will end so fast.
Will you please use that later?
I will call you guys when I'm lonely.
We've got a general meeting improv for you later.
Okay, great, great.
Okay.
That seems great.
Where do you want to go first?
I want to call the show when I'm lonely. Can I call into the show on the phone when I'm lonely?
Okay, I know that you're married.
I love that. Please do that. That'd be amazing.
But we're going to pretend like you're single. You don't have to play a character.
Great.
But. Would this, if you were single, would these be deal breakers? Okay. Let's say you're on a date with a gal. If they've never seen Star Wars.
Not a deal breaker.
Okay. If their parents still subsidize their life.
Red flag.
Oh, interesting.
Red flag for me. Come on. Like,
explain why.
I think, you know, I'm raising a daughter right now, and so I feel like I'm in tune with this idea of like, you want to be with someone and raise someone who can be self-sufficient and they don't need you ultimately. So I feel like when you're dating someone, that can't be the person that you end up with, because they have some stuff to figure out first.
I like that.
Very interesting.
Okay. If she loudly proclaims she loves porn at a restaurant.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. All right. So now we're going to go into our first little improv, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But we know that you're a genius at improv. And so I'm Kayla.
Okay.
You are Joel.
On a date?
Yeah. You're a video game designer in LA.
Okay.
We met on Tinder. Okay, here we go. Hey, I'm Kayla.
Oh, hey, I'm Joel.
That's cool. So you're on your profile it said you're a video game designer.
Yeah. It's more interesting than that though, because it's like I'm like a tester of video games. Like I get to play them all day. It's kind of like Tom Hanks's character in Big. You know how he tests out the toys?
I don't know that movie.
Oh. It's like, it's kind of like in Broadcast News, you know, the James L. Brooks film, how they're all...
I don't really know that movie either.
Well, it's like in...
I'm young.
Oh, yeah. No, I can tell. I won't ask how old you are, but...
I'm young. Let's just say that. I'm really, really young.
Yeah, no, I get that. I get that. Maybe you could test out some of the video games.
That'd be cool. I'd like that. Yeah. That's really cool that you do that.
Come to work with me. And
I don't want to see you like have a workplace.
Yeah, do you not? What do you do?
Well, right now I'm screenwriting. I'm doing a lot of different, I'm like an entrepreneur.
Cool.
You know, cool. I do lots of, like I'm starting my own makeup line. I'm also, I live with my parents right now because I'm kind of helping like take care of them, you know?
Right.
So I also get back a lot.
What do you mean you get back a lot?
I give back a lot, you know, like to like the elderly and stuff.
That's great. Yeah. No, I have a
really generous spirit.
My grandmother's 90, so I try to visit her more often than not. Because it can always be the last time, you know?
That's sweet. That's really sweet.
You have so many interests. How do you focus your time?
It's really easy for me to focus because I have what's called a laser focus mind.
What?
Yeah, I have what's called a laser focus mind, which means that I'm easily able to like focus in like on one thing when I really want to. The problem is, when do I want to do that? That's always been my problem.
Right. Is that a medical term or is that something you made up?
No. My therapist like told me that.
Oh.
Yeah.
So what do you want to, you have so many interests, like what do you want to do long term? Like what do you want to spend the majority of your time on?
Well, I really want to be, I'd love to be a singer.
Yeah.
I'd love to pursue.
Wow. You're a singer? Like that's a totally different thing than the other stuff you said.
I have a lot of different interests.
Right. It's
do
almost
you
like
not,
you should.
Or?
No, I do. I'm just, you know, it's hard to pay my bills. I'm still paying off student loans from University of Iowa. And yeah, no.
Like, how much in debt are you?
Well, like 30.
Oh, did you drive here or?
I did. Yeah. I have an Accord.
Oh.
Yeah. No. But it's nice. It's like souped up. It's not like one of the ones that like jumps up and down like on the wheels, the hydraulics, but it's like, it's nice. It's souped up for an Accord.
Oh, I really like porn. That's also like one of my hobbies. And people are always like, what? You like porn? And I'm like, yeah, well, I like porn. You know, I've got a really open mind.
Yeah. Like what kind of porn? Like
I like all different kinds of porn.
Because when I'm watching porn, I always wonder, like, this probably isn't for women. Like, it feels so male-centric.
People always say that, but you know what? They're wrong. Because once you put yourself into somebody else's shoes...
Right.
Like Atticus Finch told his daughter, Scout.
Okay, sure.
I think that then you can really... relate to all parties.
When did you read To Kill a Mockingbird?
Well, first of all,
like recently,
there was an audio. We went on a trip to Montana, and my parents put it on audio tape, which I think is actually just as valuable.
What do you mean
they
put it on audio tape? They recorded their own voices speaking To Kill a Mockingbird?
I don't know. They just had like a recording of it. Okay.
You mean they bought an audio book? I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Can I take your orders?
Yeah, we're really, really hungry. I'm going to have...
Would you like anything to drink first?
I'm going to have a vodka gimlet on the rocks. Do you want anything?
Would you like anything?
I will do a cherry tequila bomb.
I don't know what that is exactly.
The cherry tequila bomb.
Is that like a grenadine and like tequila? And with...
with some cherries?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, no problem.
Oh my God.
Would you like anything
this is the
to
worst.
Would you like anything to eat or start an appetizer?
I'm
going to
have the broccoli poppers.
Broccoli poppers for you and for you?
I'll have the clams, all the unopened ones.
Right away.
Wait, when you use all the unopened ones, are you, is that a joke? Or is
it... No, I like to really open them up with my mouth.
Wow. All right.
It's a challenge. I like to challenge myself and always.
Have you been in love before? I feel like you've been in love. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I've been listening to all these
love podcasts.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting question. Yeah. I've been in love before, but I've had to break up with a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. Because you feel like you're not with the right person.
Yeah. And also, you know, they're so much in love with me and I have to be like, back off, you know, because it just never was quite right.
Wow. You know, I feel like I've been that person.
Which part?
Well, I've been the other person where I'm like, I'm so in love with you. And then they're like, back off.
I hope this is not where this is going tonight. Because then I'm going to have to break up with you in like a half an hour.
Oh, God. And then sometimes I'm the cool person too. But like recently I dated someone, I met on Tinder also. And it was, you know, she broke up with me.
Was she mean? I hate mean people.
Well, she just wasn't returning my texts, and it was just...
Oh, that's so rude.
I know. Promise me that if you get my text ever, like any time of day, that you'll return it. Promise me. Promise me. When I'm lonely, if I text you, will you write me back?
Are you going to watch me open clams with my mouth?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Okay, I might chip a tooth.
Okay.
Then will you, like, also respond to my texts?
I'll respond to your texts for the rest of my life if you respond to my texts for the rest of your life.
I feel so confused. Why do you like me?
I just think... I mean, you're beautiful and...
No, I'm not.
No, you're, like, so beautiful and not, like, in that Los Angeles way where, like, everyone's
I know,
beautiful.
Everyone's
like,
a fake here.
Yeah, and, like, but you're, like, really beautiful, like, on the inside and out.
Really?
Yeah, like, you're more... Like, I feel like you're more beautiful on the inside than you are on the outside, and you're beautiful on the outside.
No way. No one's ever said that to me before.
We should just get a check. Can
I
we get excuse
really
me?
Vulnerable.
Yes, can I help you?
So can we get a check? I feel bad. We're just going to take the drinks to go.
We're going to take them
to go.
You
can't take the drinks to go, but I can but you haven't received any of your food or drinks.
I know. So
if you want to leave,
we're
you can
gonna
go right now.
We're going to go make love.
We're just cut the poppers. Can I just give you like $10?
Sure.
And just like X the check and say that we walked out
yes,
on it.
Yes.
I feel like
thank
you're
you
the
so,
first
thank you so
person
much,
who actually like broke through my hard shell. You are the first
thank
person
you.
Who did it.
Thank you.
So weird. Do you want to go back to my parents' place?
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or
I want to check that out. What is it? Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's in the Palisades.
Do we have to be like super quiet? Is
kind
there like
of.
A back entrance or
yeah,
anything?
Yeah, totally. Oh my God, my friends are going to love you.
Scene. I'm calling Scene.
I know, I'm sorry.
By the way,
so
if you don't
awful.
Call Scene, you go you on all lie. Night.
It's
she will never
so,
call Scene.
It's so sad when they agree to text each other back forever on their first day.
By the way, but there are people that are that lonely. That need that,
no,
right?
I'm no,
lonely, though. Aren't we all fundamentally lonely?
Yes.
Do you think that's ever happened on a date where two people are like, we are so lonely, can we just be together?
In a Tarantino film, yes.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Isn't that true,
like,
romance?
That's
yes,
true romance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. No, yeah. But really, though, it would. I don't know what it's like to date anymore, and I don't know.
Me
I
neither.
Never...
I'm post-internet dating.
Me too.
Or I were pre-internet date, whatever the term is. I never internet dated.
When did you meet your wife?
10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like so long ago.
There was still internet dating, but not like Match.com.
That's right.
No,
that's
no,
right.
No apps.
But it wasn't ubiquitous.
Yes.
It wasn't like the way people meet each other, which is what it is. What I perceive it to be now.
Did you date a lot before you met your wife?
I didn't date that much. I found it to be off-putting because I would see like my comedy peers like just kind of like approach women at comedy clubs and stuff, like in New York City, the comic strip, I won't name names, but like guys who are really like smooth at this kind of thing, just being like, hey, blah, blah, blah. And I did that once ever, and it ended so terribly, which is to say that like I dated this girl, this woman, and she, like we had like 3 dates, and it was like pretty mellow. Didn't get super serious, but like we enjoyed each other's company, but it was very date-y and never like super comfortable. And then the third date, she goes, my mom Googled you and she approves. And I was like, oh no.
Oh,
like this is a disaster. Like it's not like I'm well known, but I'm well known enough to be Googled.
Right.
For someone to be like, to pass a judgment. Yeah. And to kind of like send the link to their friends and be like, what do you think, mom? I know, so painful. And it was just, yeah. I hated dating because I was like, every time I was dating, I was always like, I would think what I wanted was to meet a ton of people and hook up a lot and all that kind of stuff. And then I would hook up with someone and then I'd be like, do you want to have coffee tomorrow? You know what I mean? Like it would be so desperate and like, it's lonely to use your word.
Well, I think that I don't know. I was never great at dating. I was never great at like hooking up randomly, which yeah. I wanted to be the kind of person that could, you know, sleep with somebody and just be like, call my friends the next morning, just like, oh my god, I totally fucking banged that dude last night. But that's just somehow not in my makeup.
It's your DNA, yeah.
And
I very much relate to that.
But what about when you achieved success? Like after Sleepwalk With Me and your stand-up specials and all of a sudden, you know, you're Mike Birbiglia. And, you know, when women on Twitter, like, do you ever get like any kind of attention from women? Like how does your wife feel about that now that you're achieving some of that?
Reach out are always sort of cautionary people.
Yeah.
Like I remember being at like a club once, like many years ago, and this woman came up to me and after a show and was like, you want to hang out? Like, you know, when he's in town, like blah blah hangs out with me, you know, like, and I won't say the person's name, but like, I was like, I do not want to be the person who's named on your roster to the next person. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's something about, like, if people, like, throw themselves at you, it's like, get out of the way. Because they're, like, it's, like,
But they're doing that to establish their own credibility. It's like, hey, listen. Like,
my resume
Yeah, but here's my resume right now, so you'd fit right in. Yeah.
But that's a lot of L.A., though, too, don't you think?
Sure, of course. Like, everyone of course. Is sort of...
How do you find that, Sim? You're not chiming in on this. This is me and Anna, like, bearing our souls.
Why would I have... there's no way I can chime in on this because it doesn't apply to me at all.
Are you single?
I'm not single.
No, and he's dating the most amazing woman, Amy, who's just the best, and I've known each other... We've known each other
for a long
time.
When does this podcast post?
No, but they're in it, and this is, like...
That's like a joke about...
I know.
Yeah, okay.
But I didn't get it.
I got it.
About
got
whether
it.
They'll be together when
yes,
it posts.
Yes, I got it. Yeah. I got it.
It's so stupid. Sorry.
I know. It's good.
But he's been through a lot. I've been able to grill him about his like Tinder experiences and his social.
Went through a divorce.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So I was part of that whole wave of when Tinder
divorced
was Tinder.
Dudes who are on Tinder.
Yeah.
Did you ever Tinder before you were divorced?
No.
Because I'm witnessing a lot of that.
You wait with your.
Well, I'm just hearing murmurs of people being like, "I was on this dating app, and this person who I know who's married is on it." Have you heard those lately?
All the time. But here's the thing: you can't get away with it because you're going. It's inevitable. You're going to find someone that you know because it all goes through Facebook. You're going to see a mutual connection somewhere. And someone's going to call you on it. It's not a good idea because it goes through your Facebook.
I know.
Bad idea. Bad idea.
Bad idea all around. But what was your experience on Tinder after your divorce?
Oh, this is so fun.
It was, I never really talked about this, but it was one of those things
we're saying a lot of things today that we've never talked about, by the way.
Kid in a candy store for a while.
Some kind of like sacrificial lamb, Sim. Don't act like you're better than us.
I was having a great time. It was amazing because you would.
Oh, it was?
the best. It was the best.
You'd go, okay, so would it be like that date just now with me and Anna's character? Like, would you go and meet a woman at a restaurant?
I would. Oh, we'd always meet like, restaurants or bars together? Or, yeah, but it's awkward because you don't really know this person at all. You just, you swipe right, you both liked each other, you send three or four texts to each other, and all of a sudden you're meeting the next day at a bar for a drink. So,
aren't you meeting like way, that night?
Sometimes.
Often? Okay.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
What and are you doing Sim tonight? Is amazing at not actually listening to people. So I bet, I'm sure you went on tons of dates with atrocious women just like Kayla, and you just checked out. You were able to like think about your baseball statistics.
I did that a lot. But you know what? What I learned early on, because you know, after my divorce, you know, you want to date a lot, and it was, and Tinder was the easiest thing to do. But what I realized was that I can't go to dinners with everyone anymore. First of all, it's really super expensive.
Oh wow!
So you can't do that. So then I started just meeting.
You cut out the dinner.
I cut out the dinner because because you're on
Bold
these dates with
move.
Women that you're not going to see.
That's
for
a high self-evaluation.
Can't do it. I couldn't do it because it was super expensive. Because every time you go out to dinner in LA, it's what, $150 a pop every single time?
Sure, yeah.
So if you're going out two or three times a week, you're talking about $300, $450 a week.
Right.
You know, times a month that you're looking at $1,800 a month. $1,800 is like a lease on a Bentley. You know, I'm not saying that I would rather have a Bentley than date, but the point I'm trying to make is that it's still very, very expensive. So I switched to drinks.
Drinks.
Not only because of the cost expenditure, but because
okay.
The time expenditure. You're spending a lot of time with someone who you're probably not going to see again because most dates don't work out.
So what was
so
your,
if you have
what was
drinks,
your conversion
dates,
rate on the dates?
Oh like my God, what do you mean by that? Okay, that's what you mean
like,
by that.
Like how much did you get laid?
How much did you get laid based on how much you were like Tindering?
Investing. Yeah. Would you
okay, let's just say that I would have been better off spending that money on a really high class hooker.
And did you do that as well?
No.
That we know of.
That we know of.
No. Most of the money was money you'll never, ever, ever see again. So the conversion was not very good.
So what would happen on the dates? You would go for drinks, and then after like an hour or so, you'd be like, this isn't going anywhere, and you'd be like, I got to run?
No, I wouldn't really do that. You would wait out. You would wait out the date. You're not going to be. I'm not going to be a dick about it. It's at times it can be tedious. The worst is when, because I'm going to be nice to whomever I'm with. So the worst is when she thinks that you have a connection, and I definitely don't, but
like
I'm going to be nice anyway.
Yeah, is that exactly. What you mean? I don't know what you mean. A connection to what? Drugs? Oh, you have a connection between you. Okay. There's a love connection, as Chuck Woolery would say. Okay.
Oh, Chuck Woolery. And then, you know, they would text you and say,
so you
I had
see
a great
if
time
a spark.
Tonight. I always felt it was the whole thing about how do you tell someone that you don't want to see them again if they think they had a really great time. I always had trouble with that. First of all, I'm not saying that every single date, there were a bunch of girls that I wanted to see again that didn't want to see me as well, but I'm talking about just from my standpoint.
The vast majority, Sam.
I agree.
The vast majority.
I'm not painting myself as this player.
The women
no,
wanted to see you again.
I'm not. I'm not.
You
I'm
are
not.
A catch. I'm looking at you going, you're a catch.
Oh, you're so sweet, Mike. Yeah.
You're a great looking guy.
You're
so, I know. You're
awesome.
A great talker. You're basically this thing in Los Angeles that doesn't exist, which is like, I always say to my female friends in Los Angeles and New York, if you're looking for love, move. Like, go somewhere else, because all, it's New York and LA, it's just filled with these megalomaniac dudes.
Can't be much better in New York.
No, it's not. And it's just like these dudes who are looking to like hook up a lot and never settle down and like pursue their ego to, you know, its end, whatever that is. Yeah. And you will be a casualty of that. I don't know. But I feel like if I met you, I would be like, oh, the antidote, right?
I love
you'd
this
meet
guy.
Sim and
I
you'd
love
go,
this guy so much.
You go,
he's amazing.
This guy is perfect.
This is
meeting all these slick guys, and they're jerks, and they just want to hook up with me. And this guy seems like he's nice.
I'm gonna cut this sound clip and play this over and over again, every single day of my life, just so I can motivate myself
to masturbate. I understand, but. So, did you? Sorry to cut you off, but did you meet your girlfriend Amy?
I met her on a Tinder-like app called Hinge, which is not quite like Tinder. It just
Hinge is like a sexual web dating
it's a
website
sexual
where
fetish
you
website.
You you have intercourse and then you hang off of them and rock like a hinge while you have sex. Is that what it is?
That's what we did on our first date. That's a prerequisite.
Do you want to do the Hinge?
Right. Do you want to do the Hinge?
And they say yes or no.
That's how you swipe. If you want to do the Hinge, you swipe yes, and then you both do the Hinge together.
Oh, we're doing the Hinge. Oh, it worked. I got to call my mom. She approves.
I'm imagining you guys on a ropes course.
Yes, exactly.
The Camper Kyla. We can talk about that later. But Sim met his most amazing girlfriend. Yeah, Amy.
Yeah, no, she's amazing. She's incredible. Awesome.
She must have been psyched when she met you.
She's really awesome. She was so psyched.
No. That was way too sincere.
No, but it's true.
She was so psyched.
She's awesome, and I've known Sim for a really long time, and I'm just really happy that he's found
a great relationship. How long has it been?
It's been close to a year.
Oh.
Yeah. Not bad.
Oh, you mean our friendship?
Our friendship.
Did you know
16
her
years.
Before that?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
You've known each other 16
years?
One of our first,
she was one of my first friends in LA.
I love that you're impressed by that, because it's true. In this town,
I love it that you care, first of all.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
We have so much to talk to you about, and I feel like
a friendship.
So, what'd you meet on? Did you meet on at work?
Nope.
No, we met through mutual friends.
Yep, at a bar.
Was it a date?
Nope.
No. She was dating somebody some guy at the time, and she ended up marrying him. We went. She got divorced, and
we just stayed friends.
We stayed friends, right?
For better or for worse.
Can I ask?
That's how it works.
So you can cut this out. Who are you divorced to?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm divorced to... Why? Is it so that I'm just so out of whatever? Leave me.
It's surprising to me that you are divorced, but that's not a judgment on people who are divorced.
Well,
I'm just surprised.
No, but you're saying that as a compliment.
Yes.
Like, why would someone... Right.
That's really nice. No, I mean, I think... You know, I love the security of relationships in general.
Yeah, sure.
So therefore, I've always tried to make a bad thing work.
Right. That's what Sleepwalk is a lot about. It's just like trying to make it work when it's not working.
Yeah. And I really wanted to check it off the list while I sort of grew my career. And I thought, you know, I just wanted, and I'm not good at dating. I'm not good at, I don't know. So I got married pretty young to an actor in LA, and it took us forever to realize that it wasn't working. And then I met Chris and we fell in love, and so but I've really only been with two people in LA from like 1999 to now.
And I've never met Chris, but he's seen everyone I know who knows him says he's like the nicest, most like
he is,
like great person.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear you say that. Yeah,
I hear that a lot.
He's the best.
He's a really good guy. I'm really lucky.
Everything you heard is completely true, and people ask me that too. But yeah, he is the most amazing.
That
guy.
Said, I've heard that about Tom Cruise. So it's you just don't know. The point is, you just don't know.
And I know I've said this before on the podcast, but I asked him once, Chris, if it ever bothered him, that I had been married before. And he said, baby, you were just chilling on ice.
Oh,
I know. That's enough to make your heart melt.
I know that is
right?
Melting.
It's very, very, very sweet. Because, I don't know, maybe with some men it would bother them. I don't know.
I sometimes say to my wife, I'm not, just in case you're wondering, like divorce is not like even entering the list of options in my brain ever, because my parents have been married for 50 years unhappily, and so I just perceive that as the norm. So like I will stay here even if I'm unhappy, so you're gonna have to call it or no one's gonna call it. You know what I mean? Like I don't, she's my wife's parents are divorced, and so I think sometimes she thinks that might be what is an option, but I'm like literally like it's all I know is married Catholic parents, married for a zillion years and always angry at each other. That's all I know.
You're a good man.
Hey, what's your parents' deal?
They're still married.
Still married. How long?
It'll be 50 years coming up here pretty soon.
Wow.
And they're amazing. They bicker, but they're amazing. They still also giggle. They go like traveling. They're going to Egypt soon.
Oh.
And they're like, they really get a kick out of each other, especially if they've had a little wine. But
are they? They're not in California, are they?
No, they're up in Seattle.
Seattle. That's where I'm going this week.
You are?
Yeah.
What are you doing there?
I'm showing the movie.
Awesome. What theater?
I'm doing a Q&A in Portland, I'm doing Cinema 21. In Seattle, I'm doing the Uptown.
Which, you know, what that day?
One?
No.
On Friday night. Yeah, I can get them tickets if they want to go.
I bet they would love to.
That would be great.
They would really love the movie,
they would
by the way.
Love they that. Would love they would love the movie. Really?
It's great. I've had a lot of older folks like it lately, which is really fun. Like, I had this guy stand up at a Q&A in New York City, and he goes, I'm the oldest person in this room, and I wanted to hate it, but I loved it. And I was like, what's your question? He's like, I don't have a question. But yeah, I'll get your parents tickets for Friday night. I'm going this week to Denver, Portland, Seattle. I'm like carrying the movie like town to town. That's like part of my deal. I'm going to 30 cities.
By the way, can I just say, I want
30 cities and you're here with us. Thank you.
I want to point something out to our listeners. So, dear listeners, if you're listening right now, the movie, not only is it great, we've talked about that, but it also broke records for the best per screen average in the entire movie industry last week.
Yeah, for the year or whatever.
For the year. Yeah, that's crazy. That's insane. We're talking about beating out the biggest movies around per screen. Yeah, I know. I'm trying to make it sound.
I appreciate it.
But it's a huge, out of every single indie movie that gets released, you know, in New York and LA, like a platform release, and you expand from there.
Yeah.
You're basically what that means, everyone, is that every single screening that they've had has sold out. Yes, that's what it means.
It's something like that.
Yeah. Thanks, it's incredible. Sam. It's incredible.
Thank you,
Sam. And you
Sam.
Deserve it.
So if anyone's listening to this, I want to plug Sam as well. If you're on Tinder and you see a guy who's sort of like tall, dark, handsome, seems like nicer than anyone else on Tinder, you swipe left.
No, right.
Right on that.
Thank you.
Swipe right on that. Just know that he has a serious girlfriend and probably won't work out.
I appreciate that.
Are you ready for next improv?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Now, you have been called into a general meeting with Karen Sarducci.
The head of Imaginarium Studios.
Yeah.
She runs Imagine Studios?
Imaginarium Studios.
Okay. It's a fake studio.
We work we work with Keegan-Michael Key, by the way. Do you know him?
Yeah.
We work with him.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, you guys work with him?
Yeah. My assistant, Donathan, has to fill you in.
Sorry
you didn't come in educated.
Oh, hi. I'm Donovan, by the way.
Oh, hi, Donovan.
Mike. Are you here? So you're here to meet with Karen. Karen's really excited to meet you.
Yeah. I've heard so much about her.
She's a huge, Hollywood Reporter, number 7 most powerful in all of entertainment.
Oh, my gosh. I got to read up on this stuff.
But, you know, she loves your movie.
Okay.
She loves both of your movies.
Oh, that's great.
She loves them. So she's ready to meet with you right now. And can I get you something to drink before you walk in?
Oh, just water would be great.
All right, here you go. Here's some water for
Thank
you.
Thank you so much.
And Karen, Mike Birbiglia is here to see you.
Hi.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm very well. I'm Karen. Karen Sarducci.
Thanks for having me, Karen. I love so many of these movies that are on your wall.
Thank you. We're very, very, very proud.
Yeah.
So you're Italian.
Yes. I'm American-Italian. Suburban Italian.
I'm Italian.
Olive Garden Italian, yeah.
Oh, I know, I'm authentic Italian.
Oh, you're from Italy? You're born in Italy?
Sarducci.
Sarducci, Italy?
Well, our family is from a combination of Sardinia and Puglia.
Oh, wow.
So, yes. Anyway, but I know that you're Italian.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't feel like it informs my work, really, because it's not like an Italian family, really. I mean, my mom's Irish, so she barely cooks, but...
I see. Well, congratulations on your recent success.
Thank you very much, Karen. Thanks.
Yes.
Did you see it?
I did. I did see it. Also, my children, Milo and Ventimiglia, also saw it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What was your... Did you relate to it? Because,
I related to the dream.
Okay.
The dream of success.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's something that when I was young, I always wanted the dream.
Yeah.
And now I've achieved it. So I related to that.
Huh. Yeah. So do you feel like, what do you want to do next now that you've achieved
Donovan?
Yes.
He's asking me a lot of questions.
Would you mind if she asks the questions?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm...
No, don't worry. Don't worry. I don't want you to feel intimidated or anything.
Sure, sure.
But we were all just recently on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
We are in Reykjavik.
Oh, wow. Iceland.
Yes. You know your geography.
I'd like to go to Iceland. My wife and I always talk about that.
Reykjavik.
Donovan, shut the fuck up. Okay. So anyway, it was wonderful. But Milo was telling me what a fan of he is of yours. So is Ventimiglia.
Oh, your children.
Yes.
Okay.
They have their fingers on the pulse of Hollywood.
Okay.
And anyway, so we wanted to pitch a few ideas. On the way home, I was getting restless in my first class bed. Oh God, well, the private plane wasn't working because fucking Donovan.
I asked for the
Donovan,
G5.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm sorry, you got a Challenger.
But anyway, so Milo was telling me, he was pitching me a few movie titles that I wanted to throw past you.
As when you're pitching, like just the title, but not the movie itself?
Yes, that's right.
Well, okay. We'd like you to come up with the
concept.
Plot.
Okay, sure.
If that's okay.
Sure, yeah.
Sleepwalk With Me 2, Time to Wake Up.
Well, I've always toyed with the idea of the sequel, but it's what's tricky about it is that it's in some ways there's nothing that comes after like the breakup of two people. Like the protagonists are you know Matt and Abby, and once they break up you'd almost have to follow one of them over the other, and my character just kind of becomes a comedian and he kind of finds his voice, and I don't know if that has enough conflict in it to be a film.
I wish you would think a little bit bigger. I mean, Time to Wake Up, what if there was a bomb, like a ticking time
bomb? I just feel like
bomb.
That's sort of a different genre. Like I feel like what people would be coming for would be comedy, and I don't know.
We want to make this movie for like $80 million.
We can make it work. I mean, it's just like it's just I don't see it yet, but sure.
I want like
terrorism.
I'm thinking you know, threat to society, Time to Wake Up, you know, as a general wake up call
sort
to
of like
society.
Sort of like a Jason Bourne version of Sleepwalk With Me.
All right. So now we're getting on to number two. Jason's Warren.
Is it a Jason Bourne sequel?
Yes.
So sort of.
But he's worn out.
So sort of like a tired Matt Damon? Sort of like an exhausted Matt Damon? Like we could shoot it all in the mornings. We could shoot like 3 a.m. to noon kind of thing. And he could seem tired in every scene. And
he's addicted to Ambien. I don't know.
Yeah. I think there's something there.
Okay. Do you have any more thoughts?
I mean, I think you'd want to give that to someone like Joss Whedon or you know.
So you're not the man for the job?
I don't know. I just don't know if that's my genre.
Do you want to work with Imaginarium Studios?
Look, I really enjoy the films that you guys have made. I thought King Kong 9 was good.
It was good.
It was excellent.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're the movies that I want to make, but I really like
we
you
have
guys.
We have a couple more.
Okay.
I think we have one more.
Donovan?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to help. I'm
overstepping.
Sorry. I like him, though. So
I know you do.
Donovan, I think have I met you on Tinder?
Maybe.
Are you on Tinder?
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I don't want to get into Donovan's personal life. This last one is something that I need you to keep top secret.
I'm sorry, because you seem like really nice. Like you're nicer than like your typical Hollywood dudes.
I don't want to talk about Tinder.
Okay, sorry.
What's going on?
Nothing.
What am I not picking up on?
We may have.
Well, we met briefly. We went for drinks.
Donovan?
Well, he's married. I didn't want to say anything.
I'm experimenting with...
I don't want to know anything.
Okay.
I don't want to know anything. You keep your life private. You keep your life private.
Right.
All right. Okay. Titanic 3. The Wood Raft. Let Me On. Now, listen. I'm going to be... the character that Kate Winslet plays, Rose. Okay, so now we're going to do a little experimental dialogue.
Okay.
If you wouldn't mind being Jack attempting to get onto the raft. Wait. And that way we can sort of brainstorm where it goes from there.
The piece of wood. The piece of
Titanic
wood.
Titanic 3, does it jump over 2? Like, well, no, there's no 2?
The Titanic 2, we've already released that. It was Titanic 2, Let's Get High. Keegan-Michael Key was...
Oh, that's right. That's right. So Titanic 3...
You know Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah, yeah. Keegan-Michael Key is a close friend.
Right. You guys did a movie together.
We did Don't Think Twice, yeah. So, right. Okay, so you're Rose, and I'm Rose. Jack. And there's a final piece of wood that we're on?
I'm on my piece of wood.
Kind of like Life of Pi.
And you want to get on. We're in the middle of the, you know.
Okay, the ocean.
Arctic Ocean.
Yeah.
Like Northern Atlantic.
Okay.
Pre-global warming.
Okay.
So things are really cold.
Rose.
Oh, hi, Jack.
Rose.
Hi, Jack. Listen, I just don't know if there's enough room.
Rose.
There's not enough room. Oh, I know. Oh my gosh, you're getting a little water on me. Please stop. Please stop.
I'm nearly dead.
No, listen, but thank you so much. Can you please get your fingers, just scoot them over just a little bit closer to the edge.
My finger's falling off.
I know this is hard.
I'm so cold.
I know. Is there any way you could sort of paddle me over to the boats?
I'm going to try.
Is there any way? Oh my God. Will you please fucking grow some nuts, Jack? This fucking sucks for me. Do you have any idea what this is doing to me? I am cold. This is not pleasant. Paddle me over to one of those fucking lifeboats now. Now. Kick harder. If you kicked harder, your blood would warm up. Now fucking kick harder. Do you know people swam the English Channel? Do you know that?
Oh my God.
Do you love me or do you love me not?
I love you.
Yeah.
I love you. I'm so cold.
Fucking kick. I'm cold too. I'm really cold too. I'm in a fucking corset. All right? Now fucking kick, dick.
Kick. And scene. That was a scene within a scene within a scene.
Kick, dick.
With a great callback to Sims Dating Life.
I know. I love that. I wasn't expecting to be part of that.
That was great.
I want to send a shout out to Amy, who I've not met. Just say, like, you won. You won Tinder.
By the way, I'm so flattered right now. You are my favorite guest of all time.
When are you going to propose?
Right now. I'd love to propose to you.
What's happening?
I don't know,
this
but I really do
is
love
getting away from
I
me.
I really do
am
love
no longer
Mike
in control.
I love this guy so much.
me
what do you
too.
Do you want to take a 5-minute break and then we'll call some of our listeners?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
Let's do it.